You know, natural disasters occur frequently throughout the world. There's not a day goes by that you don't hear something happening in some quarter of our world. Tornadoes and floods, earthquakes and hurricanes. And most of you know one of the worst disasters I ever was in was Hurricane Andrew back in 92. And guess what? I survived it, but I went through another one too. I went through Hurricane Katrina, but I wasn't in New Orleans. I was vacationing in Miami Beach when it happened. I said, I can't get away from those things. But it wasn't a pleasant experience, but it was much milder than later in New Orleans. And I remember saying distinctly, if that hurricane hits the Gulf of Mexico, it's going to turn into a monster. And sadly, it was a prediction which came true. I think I've been through six hurricanes, and I'm sure most of you have been through about the same number, so I'm nobody special up here today. But, you know, every one of them's different. You can't trust them. They'll even boomerang and play a U-turn and come back. You know how they are. Some will have more rain. Some will have more wind. It's just whatever it is, you know, in the system there. But, you know, in any disaster, and there's chaos and confusion reigns. Possessions are second compared to human lives. And I remember Hurricane Andrew after that. I went down to Homestead in Florida City. I remember a Joann Fabrics. The front of the store was completely torn off, and you could see the merchandise inside. I can still remember that to this day. Houses that, you know, were completely obliterated, you know, by that. And so, you know, it's a sad time. It's a really a very shocking time. You don't know what to do. But there was a fellow, he was a Methodist missionary to India named E. Stanley Jones, and he was on furlough one time in the States years ago. And he said that he remembered he was in a nearby town when there was a terrible railway accident in the community in which some people were killed and injured. It was a passenger train. However, you know, survivors attempted to help the more critically hurt people. But there was one woman, however, discovered her mutilated suitcase, and she was crying. She says, my shoes, my beautiful shoes, while people around her were dying. But she was more concerned about her suitcase and her shoes than she was somebody around her. So a personal reaction to any situation will reveal our inner soul. It's very true. You know, upon offending some local business people, Paul and Silas ended up healing a demon-possessed slave girl, which she was the chief attraction at these people's freak show at the carnival. They made money off her because she was whatever it was that she was demon-possessed, that she drew a lot of crowds. And Paul and Silas were arrested for their actions. In that stinking jail cell, these two prisoners were praying and singing hymns. Now, when horrendous things happen, hymn singing may be the farthest thing from our minds. But here was Paul and Silas. You know, we perhaps would do a short prayer rejoicing in such predicaments. Is not one of them. Think about that. We don't sing a hymn when we stump our toe, do we? When we drop something on it, and it's just or on our foot or whatever it is. It's just we don't think about that. And I don't think sometimes we use Sunday school language either when things like that happen. So we have a variety of outbursts, but what Paul and Silas did was absolutely unbelievable. So something supernatural occurred. An earthquake of cataclysmic proportions took place, which are common in Greece, but this one literally destroyed the entire prison, or as we say today, destroyed the detention center. And it did. And those prisons, jails, were like caves. They were very damp. But probably had rats all over them, sewage everywhere. I mean, it was not a pleasant environment, you know. Sheriff Grady would have an epileptic seizure if he could have seen one of those prisons back then, because they were not the nicest places in the world to be in. And so another bizarre action happened. None of the prisoners escaped. Now you think about that. You've been in prison. First thing you want to do is get out. But they did not leave the prison at all. Nor were there any fatalities mentioned in the scripture here. Now that's a miracle. Man. Most jailers in those days were not the nicest of people, especially toward religious persons, particularly preachers. And so things like that happened, and Paul and Silas were the recipients of just so-called Roman Grecian justice in those days. Ancient Roman law decreed that those custodians of prisoners would be executed immediately if any prisoners under their care escaped. The poor jailer was frantic. Prior to death by the Romans, he would have been tortured without mercy. The terror of such experience only led to one recourse, suicide. Evidently, the jailer had no choice with little hope for coming. Not only was this happened to him, but just the humiliation that would be heaped upon his family as well. However, his fatal intentions became known to Paul and Silas. And you know, sometimes we think about things. Do things ever get better if they're worse? Yes, they do. I was thinking about the English missionary, William Carey, who in 1792 traveled India with his family. And he was also a botanist, too. And for the first 8 years, he saw no conversions to the faith. His wife's mental condition deteriorated into insanity. And the building upon which he housed his language manuscripts for the translation of the Bible into Bengali burned to the ground. You know that old song from Hill, gloom, despair, and agony on earth. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. This is what was going on with William Carey. You know, the man must have had those moments of despair. But, you know, Carey did not give up. Not at all. He was distraught by these setbacks, along with the threat by the government of expulsion from British India. They did not want missionaries poking religion into their business. Eventually, people were converted to the faith. His unbalanced wife died soon after, and a new building was constructed as a warehouse to continue Bible translation. Plus, the country of Denmark owned a little enclave of territory outside of Calcutta, and they invited Carey and his fellow missionaries to move there so they would not be under the British authorities, and he could go there. And he lived there the rest of his life, pretty much. But we must remember this. Carey's faith was centered on God. And I must admit, and while I was writing this sermon this week, it really hit me like a cast iron skillet. Hey, God is there for us. If God could help Paul, Silas, and William Carey, God can also help me. You think about that. You remember that scripture verse out of Romans 8:31? If God is for us, what's the rest of it? Who can be against us? Think about that. There is nothing. And you know, throughout the scripture it says, is the arm of the Lord too short? Is there anything too difficult for the Lord to do? Absolutely not. But it takes our faith to believe that. And if we sit around biting our fingers or twiddling our thumbs, it's not going to happen. We've got to have confidence in God. Now, I'm going to say this. It really takes effort to do that. And, you know, sometimes we just have to go sight unseen and expect God to follow through. And that does take practice, but God will never let us down. Remember that God will never let us down. Hope for Carey was exclusively God. Even when the events rocked his boat, Carey relied upon God. People with a healthy faith will overcome any problem with God's help, whether it's financial, family, health, whatever it is. I broke in a new doctor the other day. Now, I'm going to tell you the story of my life with doctors. When I have a doctor's appointment, I feel like I'm going to the firing squad lined up against the wall. You have those ideas, well, what's he going to do or what are they going to tell me? But you know what? I just pray. This happened this past week while I was working on this sermon. I said, well, you know what? I better live out this sermon, and I'm going to just let God handle it and take those fears away. And you know what? God did. And I'm a living testimony of that. I didn't go in there biting my fingernails. I went in there, and they treated me like family, like they'd known me for 30 years. So God can handle everything, and God will go ahead of us. You remember like in the old Westerns, there were scouts with the cavalry, and they went ahead of them? Well, that's the way God is. God goes and prepares, you know, prepare the way of the Lord. And he's very true what God does for our lives if we would just only believe that God can do it. And by the way, I want to share this. This has nothing to do really with the Bible. But William Carey was a pioneer. He was a pioneer botanist. He loved plants. He loved all kinds of flowers and even grew vegetables. Well, turned out several years after this happened, there was a split in the mission. There was a disagreement. So Carey and his family and supporters decided rather than continue there at that location, they would move down the road a couple of miles. And he had all his gardens, I mean plants. He dug them up, put them in containers, and everybody had a wheelbarrow, and they pushed all that down the road. Carey was a pioneer in container gardening, by the way, and he continued to do that till the day he died. So we owe William Carey a lot, of those of us who like to garden and put around about container gardens. So the next time you can do some container gardening, just say, well, thank you, William, for helping us out in that regard. But getting back, returning to Paul and Silas, the jailer asked Paul how he might attain the hope of those jailed missionaries. Paul immediately told him about Jesus Christ, as with the household of Lydia, whom I preached on last Sunday. The jailer also, along with his entire family, believed in Jesus Christ, and they were baptized. You know, an insight about this is that when the head of a family makes a commitment to Christ, the rest of the family will usually follow. It is very, very common to see that. The condition of most humans is usually as desperate or empty as the jailer's life. This jailer probably, when he went to work that day, had no idea there was going to be an earthquake, had no idea how his life was going to be turned upside down, and it truly was, but in the best way possible. And this morning, what can we say about the status of our own lives? Is it full of problems and catastrophes, or is it hopeful? You say, well, you don't know half of it, preacher. Oh, I may not know half of it, but God does. And share it with God. You don't have to come to me on it. You've got a direct line to God through prayer. Allow God to deal with it. Now, it's hard to let go, but God will handle it for you if you only will have confidence. So during the worst of Paul and Silas' imprisonment, they looked to God for strength to encourage them. Do you look to God or something material for guidance? Do you put everything in one basket? Do you expect, I've got a solid bank account? But you know what? People in 1929 thought that, and guess what? The Great Depression wiped out a lot of bank accounts, didn't it? Don't put all your confidence in the material. Allow God to be the one, the best deposits, safety deposit box you can have. Because God is our hope. And when things happen, we know that God is reliable. So what is your hope at this moment? Some people trust in money. Others in alcohol, drugs, politicians, but it's all for nothing. Impermanence is a fleeting matter in this world. Think about that. what you did 10 years ago, you're still doing the same thing, or have you moved on? It happens. We human beings, we seem to evolve. But so nothing's for sure in this world. Or to quote Madame de Pompadour in the 18th century, nothing's for sure except death and taxes. And is your life filled with meaning, or has life been useless up until now? God will give you the necessary inspiration to attain a fulfilling and meaningful life. In the original, instead of fulfilling, I put victorious. We will lead a victorious life if we will allow God to allow us to have that fulfilled and meaningful life. Don't waste it one moment longer. Allow God to take the credit and allow God to work better and more exuberant in your life. You will never, never regret it. Let us pray. Oh Lord, sometimes we're so filled with our selfish motives that we tend to put you on a shelf. Forgive us when we do those things. We ask that you will guide each of us. Yes, most of us are timid when it comes to various factors in our lives, but we know timidity doesn't work with you. That is no excuse. Let us be bold and come before the throne of grace, that with whatever is going on in our lives, we know you will handle it, and you are the great physician. We ask this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.